If you want your Bibles tonight, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. We'll be in 1 and 2 Peter tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. It's good to have the Schiffbauer family with us tonight, our missionaries to Bulgaria, and they're just kind of, I guess, popping in and pop back out. But they are close to going to the field, so just to hear in a few months. And so we're excited for them. And then missionaries there in the back. And what's their names that stay back here? In our motel, do I? Yeah, the Bennetts. Good to have y'all tonight. Brazil somewhere, I think, right? Yes. Anyway, we're praying. Pray for the Bennetts, all right? So they're in the our trailer park back there. And for some of you who are new to our church, we do have three spots. But we have three RV spots for missionaries, and it's been a blessing to be a blessing, but the next couple of nights don't know about being a blessing. It's going to be a challenge. So we'll be praying for them. And I think Brother Steve Scott and Miss Barbara are coming in tonight after church. And they're staying back there. And there's another trailer. Oh, that's theirs. Okay, all right. So pray for our trailer park is all I'm saying. All right. Pray for them. There's some water issues back there. And I hope Brother Chad and everybody, we got that settled with the occupants back there. It's going to be interesting. All right. Anybody ever want to winterize our storage building back there, just let us know. It needs to be winterized. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Look with me there. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Look at that adjective there, the term precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And so tonight we have a topical message, and really on the word precious. Five times it's found here in the book of 1 and 2 Peter. And this is something we've touched on before, and I hope that again it'll be a blessing to you once again. So Christ is precious. Christ is precious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, during this Christmas season, Lord, would you again help us and remind us tonight how precious your Son truly is. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Precious. The word precious could mean valuable, but it doesn't necessarily mean valuable. Something could be precious, and that could be measured not by necessarily the value of it in far as monetarily speaking, but could recognize or could indicate its usefulness and or its necessity. There are things in this world that are necessary for our life, and we would say those things are precious. For instance, a nice necklace for Christmas, a nice diamond necklace for Christmas. Some of you ladies would like that, maybe, or maybe you'd rather have a goat. I don't know. There's two spectrums of individuals. But let's say you did have $1 million necklace, and anyway, and then you had a bottled water. You'd say, which one is more valuable? Which one is precious? Well, it really would depend upon the circumstance. If you're in the Sahara Desert and you are thirsty, and you've been several days, two or three days without water, and you have a diamond necklace around your neck, how's that going to help you? And which one would be more valuable? If somebody comes to you and you've been three or four days without water, which is about as long, in the desert you could go, or what are you going to choose? You're going to give them the $1 million necklace, and take the bottle of water? And the answer every time will be, I'll take the water. The water that costs just a few cents is precious because it sustains our life. We have to have it. Again, depending on the circumstance, which is more precious? Peter describes five things here that are precious. Again, not necessarily for their value, their monetary value, because of the person in whom they are found. And that is Jesus Christ. He is precious. He meets our needs. He is precious. Who is this, or what are these precious things spoken of? Let's look at this first one. 1 Peter 2:7. Let's look at the verse again. Now unto you therefore which believe, what? He is precious. He is precious. Talking about Jesus Christ. To the saved, to the born-again believer, we know that Christ is precious. How do we know? We know this because He's the foundation. He's the foundation of the universe. He made all things. He is the Redeemer of all mankind. Without Him, we have no hope. When God gave His Son to those who believe, so in order that we might have life, and that life, it can never be taken away from us. That's precious. That's precious. In Jesus Christ, we have a relationship that can never be dissolved. I don't know about you, but I've had relationships that have dissolved over the years. But I know one relationship that will never fail. One relationship that will never be cut asunder. One relationship that'll never He'll never forsake us. Amen? He's precious. Christ is precious in His person because of who He is. In Jesus Christ, and listen to this long list. Are you ready? In Jesus Christ, we have acceptance. Everyone is searching or looking for and wants acceptance. Some men say, I don't need it. Yeah, you do. You can say you don't, but you do. You do. You like for your wife every once in a while to say, man, good job. All of us like that affirmation, and all of us to a certain degree want acceptance. And Christ gives us that. We have acceptance in Him. It's Jesus Christ. We have righteousness because all of our righteousness are filthy rags. Through Him, we have righteousness. Through Christ, we have justification. Justification, just as if I'd never sinned. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad that when I accepted Christ my Savior, my sins were forgiven. My sins were thrown into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. My sins were thrown as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered. It's an amazing thought. We have an inheritance. Now, someday I might receive an inheritance. I don't know. Sitting over there. Maybe I won't. But that inheritance, really, and what I said is correct. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Because that inheritance that I may receive is corruptible. But in Christ, I have an inheritance that's incorruptible, that fadeth not away, that's eternal. What a thought. That's precious. In Christ, we have wealth. You know, so many people here on earth think, oh, you know, I have this, you know, CD, and I have this investment, and I have this amount of land, and I have this, and this, and blah, 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 blah. All corruptible. All has to be kept up. all those assets have to be painted or fenced in or whatever it may be. You don't know what the stock market's going to do. Look at what's going on, you know. I'm thankful I have wealth untold in Jesus Christ. I know around here, y'all, many of you who've been here a while hear me say all the time, it's just money, and God has a lot of it. And it's true. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills. And the Bible says that inheritance I have in Christ, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. What Christ has, we have. Not only do I have wealth, but I have joy. I appreciate the missionary the other night even talking about happiness. And how happiness is, how you arrive at happiness. And by following the Word of God, learning the law of God, and obeying. It was a great message last Sunday night. But I have joy that cannot be taken away. Happiness many times is, you know, dependent upon happenstance, about what happens to me and my circumstance. But the joy the Lord gives never goes away. The joy of the Lord. And then love. I'm thankful that I have people that love me. But from time to time, you know, love does this. Right? Brother Clay? Love ebbs and flows. Now, love, according to the Bible, is a commitment. Love, according to the Bible, is selflessness. I'm not talking about the commitment we have with our spouse or that love, but the feeling of love does this. I'm thankful that in Christ, Jesus Christ loves me unconditionally. No matter what we say as parents, we are to strive to love our kids unconditionally. We're to strive to love our spouse unconditionally. But because we're human beings, our brain, our will, our emotions, it's difficult, and certainly not incomparable to how God loves us unconditionally. God loves us. In fact, He loves us so much He gave His Son for us. So in Christ, in Him, He is precious because of the love He gives us. The grace that He gives us. This list could go on forever, by the way. The grace of God. Aren't you thankful that God gives us what we do not deserve? That God puts things into our life that we do not deserve. Mercy is things that God takes out of our life that we do deserve. Grace is things that God puts into our life that we don't deserve. I'm thankful for the grace of God. God's freely given favor, even unto enablement. So it's not, again, not just about grace that He gives us in the way of salvation, but the grace He gives to empower us and strengthen us to live this life now. That is God's grace. Grace is not just that freely given favor for salvation. It's more than that. It's grace to help in the time of our need. There's a group of a singing group that came to our church back when we were in the storefront and in Lake Worth. And they had a song they sang called Grace One More Time. Johnny Flanagan, I won't sing it. Here comes Jesus with His grace again. What? Just about the time I need it. God gives us grace, enabling power, strength, just when we need it. He is there to help. He is there to strengthen us in our hour of need. So, He is precious because of the grace that He gives us. He's precious because of the strength that He gives us. He's precious because of the peace that He gives us. Again, the peace with God and the peace of God. I'm thankful I have both. We'll spend a little time on that Sunday morning when we do the second part message on Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And I'm looking forward to that Sunday morning. And God sent His Son in order that there might be peace between God and man. Reconciliation, reconciled, peace with God. But not only did He give us the peace with God, but He gave us the peace of God. And that means that peace, the Bible describes as passing all understanding. I'm still thankful that when I, as a pastor, do funerals, that when I know the person and I know they've accepted Christ as their Savior, and I know without a shadow of a doubt where they're at, what peace it brings to my heart. That's the peace of God. I've done some funerals where I didn't know. I've done several, actually, over the last 30 years. I've been to the bedside when someone was dying who I knew was not saved, and it was drastically different than any person I've ever seen who has saved. Drastically different. When I'm talking about a person who was dying who was conscious. You know, some people die and they kind of go, but this person, about up to the last minute, was just unbelievable. I'll never forget it, ever. I'll never forget the funeral of that person because nearly everyone in that congregation was lost and the wailing that went on and just the absolute, utter lack of peace. And then you go to, I know Ms. Scruggs isn't here tonight, but then you go to Tim Scruggs' funeral and you go, was he taken too early? I mean, it's God's timing, not ours, right? But I know where he's at. Not a shadow, not even a little bit of doubt. I know where he's at. I know where Roberta Armstrong is. I can go through a list of people. I know where Miss Shepherd is. I was thinking about... So, today, Miss Savannah put some boxes in my office about 5 months ago. I got to them today. And in those boxes were visitor cards, all the visitor cards from our church from the beginning. Now, I say from the beginning, the first about 4 or 5 months, I still have those. And they're in the box. I call it the church in a box. I'll keep them forever. It's okay. I'm nostalgic. I just like that. But these, I was told that I should throw them away. I didn't want to. But I found, you know, the Scruggs visitor card. Nearly everybody in this room who has visited our church and then joined, I saw your visitor card today. I was just going through the list. It was amazing. It was awesome to go through that list. And see, I got A.V. Henderson's visitor card. I kept that one. And, you know, just going through that list. It's just amazing as you go through the list and you see all the various people who visit our church. And very nostalgic. So I was very nostalgic today, thinking not only about these visitors, but as I was going through there, thinking of the people who have passed away. And just thinking about the sweetness and, again, the peace as I was studying for the message, too, that God provides for us. It's amazing. It's amazing you can have peace when you're going through such a terrible, terrible trial. And God is good. So that peace that He gives us, God is precious because of the peace He gives us. Those visitor cards were amazing, by the way. So I can name, now it just, what it did too is it kind of triggered in my mind people also who have moved away, like the Holder family. Oh, that was a great family. You know, you think about many of the other families, the Vorez and Grahams and Harrison and just some of those families. You know, in 2000, I'm now still nostalgic. In 2016, for some reason, about 50 people decided they were moving away. The Holder, I mean, there was a big list. And man, all those people, nearly every one of those families were one of some of our core families. And it really hurt as we saw those people who moved, you know, to Arkansas and many other places. And so I was going through their things today and just thinking of how what a great church we have now, of course, but just over the years, what great people God has put in our path and allowed and have served here. Okay, I chased a rabbit. Brother Cox, I'm sorry. I'll go back to the message. Jesus Christ is precious because of the power that He gives to us, because of salvation, because of forgiveness. Aren't you thankful for forgiveness? Man, I'm thankful He forgives. I'm thankful He forgave me when I got saved. Again, justification. But I'm thankful that 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible, that if I confess my sins, He, that is Christ, is faithful and just. He's fair to forgive me of my sin. And He does. I'm thankful for forgiveness. He gives us forgiveness. He is precious because of the deliverance He's given us. He's precious because of the assurance that we have. I'm thankful I'm saved and I know it. Having that sweet assurance, that great assurance, lay my head down at night knowing that if I were to die in my sleep, I'm going to heaven. It's the greatest, it's the greatest peace you can have and joy. Man, I don't know how these those who believe they can lose their salvation can have sustained joy and peace without that thought in their brain as they go to sleep. I'm thankful. I know the Bible makes it clear that I have assurance, that I know that I can have eternal life. And then comfort, the comfort that He gives to us. And then victory. Remind us that, again, that Jesus Christ has given us the victory. And He has given us power to overcome the sin that is in our life, power and victory in our life. And then the hope that we can have in the Lord, that blessed hope, of course, of His return, but also the hope and confidence we have in Him personally, in Jesus Christ Himself, that we hope in Him. He is precious. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, shed His blood for me and for you, covered my sins, paid my sin debt, extinguished my guilt, and gave me new life. He is precious. Then look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, just a few pages over. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like what? Precious faith. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful tonight I'm in a crowd of people that I know, mostly most all of you, and know that we are saved individuals and we all have received like precious faith. What faith it is that Christ gives to us. Hebrews 12:2 says, Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. The faith that he gives to us is precious. By the way, I'm glad it's given to us, not earned. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved, what? Through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we know that we are saved. We are rescued from our sin debt. We are rescued from death and hell through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a gift given to us. Grace, again, is God's unearned favor. Faith is precious. Why? Because it points us to Calvary. It brings us to Calvary. With faith, there is life. And by the way, not just life we have now. Again, I think most of the time it's the opposite for us. When we think of salvation and the faith we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, we automatically most of the time think of heaven. We think of the eternal benefits of what we have having obtained through Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, the importance of what we have now, that the new life he's given us now and the joy he gives us now, the benefits of accepting Christ as Savior are not just the future benefits of heaven. It is the benefits we have right now. It's amazing. I don't know how I would go through life without him. I see other people going through life without him. I don't want to be them. I'm thankful for the life he gives us, that faith that he gives us, and that faith leads to life. And yes, it leads not only to a life here now, a better life, a life that is again, provided by him, a life of love, a life of acceptance, all the things I've just talked about, but the life we have forever. How precious is that? Amen? Forever. All right, look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Go back over there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. This verse particularly speaks about the faith of trial, the trial of your faith. Look at verse 7. I still hear papers rustling or your finger hitting your phone. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That you're what? Precious? More precious than of gold that perisheth. Your trial? The trial of your faith? Jesus Christ is precious because he sustains us in our trials. Our faith will go through trials. There's no doubt about it. In life, we will experience detours. In life, we will experience a downturn. In life, I'm just thinking about D's, but I'll stop. In life, we'll think about, you know, discouragement, all the thing. I came up with another one. In life, we'll experience depression. I'm going to stop. In life, we experience all these. I mean, you can't go through life and not experience trials in life. In this world, you shall have tribulation, Jesus said himself. So these individuals who preach that as a Christian, if you go through trials, it's because they always say because you're not right with God. That's not necessarily true. Though if there's sin in your life, of course he'll treat you as a child and use a trial to steer you back on the right road. But just because you are sick or whatever the case means does not necessarily mean that you're not right with God. And there's a group of Pentecostal Assembly guys that teaches that out of the Bible, and it's not true. I mean, you think about Paul. He had a thorn in the side that God never took away, a thorn in the flesh that God never took away. Are you saying that Paul always had a sin in his life? Because he certainly always had a trial in his life. Hello? All right, just stick to the Bible. We experience trials. This was actually brought up here recently about Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the greatest preacher since the Apostle Paul, late 1800s, pastored the largest church in the world. By the way, he began to pastor that church when he was 18. That wasn't as big. It was, you know, it was a large church in England, in London, England. But boy, did he experience over the years. Not only did he experience physical pain a lot of his life, but depression as well. And he was a pastor, very successful one. God allows us to go through trials. The trial of our faith is precious, he says. Again, you take gold out of a mine, and until you take the ore and put it to heat, what use is it? It becomes precious when it goes through the heat. And you think about a diamond the same way. The diamond, whether you think about the pressure of it or taking it to a one who is skilled and shaping that diamond rock into a diamond. I mean, God is constantly working on us. He's constantly chipping away us. There are so many biblical examples of this as we think about it. And God's working on us. That little song I learned as a kid, he's still working on me to make me what ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, I'm an unfinished part. Okay, I'll stop. It's a great little song. God is working on us. He allows these trials to come into our life. Some of our own making, some that he has allowed to come in, some that he put us through. I mean, he took the disciples, the apostles there on the Sea of Galilee, said, get into the boat. The Bible says he constrained them to get in the boat. And as they went to the other side, a storm came up. They were still in God's will. A storm came up. So God uses these things, and he says there that these things that God allows us to do, that God sustains us through these trials, and that is precious. Abraham's faith was proven to mankind by his works. Romans chapter 4. You cannot read Romans chapter 4 without understanding that the faith that we have the faith we have, that it is modeled, that it is seen by what we do. James says it even, he says faith without works is dead. You show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. Not that works saves us, but it proves that we're saved. It proves we're saved. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't work something out you don't already have. Man, there's so many verses. The faith that Abraham had was proven by his works. And did he go through trials? I think Genesis 22 proves that out. And that trial was given to him by God himself when he offered up his son, Isaac, his only son. And Abraham's faith was proven out. The world is not interested in our profession of faith as much as they are seeing what that faith does in our life. Does it work its way out in our life? It's one thing to say God is my helper, but it's another thing to say the next day when you lose your job or have health problems or financial problems and these things come up, then it's proven. Your faith is proven. And that, the Bible says, is precious. Daniel and his three friends are a good example of that, the three Hebrew children. All right, we want to finish here. So 2 Peter chapter 1, I chased some rabbits too long. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and what? Precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm thankful when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I've been promised to be a partaker of the divine nature of God. I've been given, I've become a new creature in Christ. It is precious. His promises are precious. The promises of God. By the way, He is holy. Therefore, God cannot deceive us. Therefore, He has to keep His promises. He is true. Therefore, He never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's all-powerful, and therefore, whatever He promises, He will fulfill because He cannot fail. Isn't that an amazing thought? He promised us possessions. He promised us position. He promised us to be partakers of His precious nature, and He fulfills His promises. Every needed blessing that we need is found in Jesus Christ. And for time's sake, let's move to the last one. 1 Peter chapter 1. You should be right there. Back a couple of pages. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is probably the one you're most familiar with. Look with me in verse, let's start in verse 18. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but what? With the precious, what? Blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, wherefore, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. We are saved through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Christ is precious because of Calvary, because of the blood that He shed on Calvary, in order that He might meet my need of redemption, in order that He might meet my need of redemption to be bought back from the curse of the law. I was born under the curse of the law. You keep me every jot and tittle, you keep every law, or go to hell, cut and dry. That's it. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written here. You break one law, you break them all. That's what the Bible says. I'm thankful that in Christ, through His precious blood, He redeemed us from the curse of the law, bought us back, gave His Son on Calvary and shed His blood on Calvary in order that we might be redeemed, might be saved, might be rescued from the curse of the law. It is because of Christ that I am redeemed. And it is He who meets the need of redemption, meets my need of salvation, meets my need of cleansing, meets my need of intercession, meets my need of peace. We've talked about that one already. Meets my need of daily victory. I'm thankful. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of what? Good cheer. I have overcome the world. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, gave Himself for us. In His blood we have victory. His precious blood. It's through His precious blood that we overcome. Amen. Christ is precious. He is precious. Let's all stand. Hymn 159, Jesus, I Come.